Good morning, and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLavy welcoming you to this time of worship together. Friends, this morning we're going to have a message about faith. It's going to come from 2 Corinthians, and the Apostle Paul speaking to us about faith in the unseen. And then Alan Vest has prepared for us this morning a special rendition of It Is Well With My Soul. And Alan has done this in honor of our dear friend and brother Jim Richards, who passed away this past week. But this is a song that was especially important to Jim. And so Alan has done It Is Well With My Soul. So, as we prepare now to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Almighty God, we do thank you for the many ways that you bless us. And Lord, we pray that as we remember our dear friend Jim, and we honor his wonderful life and his faith in you, that we now hear your word in a way that will speak to our hearts about the importance of faith. And so, Lord, we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds and help us to hear your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This is the word of the Lord. Well, friends, faith is an amazing thing. Do you ever stop to think about how privileged we are to belong to a body of believers that gather to worship a risen Christ? Perhaps one of the reasons so many people are reluctant to join us in our faith journey is that they cannot understand how to believe in some thing or some power that they can't see. We live in a culture that is very focused on the visible as the ultimate measure of reality. The importance of physical appearance and fashion is affirmed all around us every day. Many have succumbed to that belief that our success in life is somehow measured by material wealth. And if we die without a sizable estate, we obviously didn't work hard enough, or we weren't smart enough, or we didn't come from the right family. Well, friends, in my humble opinion, idolatry, worshiping false gods such as money and materialism, is rampant in our world. And yet, I am reminded of the touching story of Mother Teresa, who moved out of a comfortable community of nuns to work among the poor in the streets of Calcutta. I read once that Her worldly possessions included a change of apparel and a galvanized steel bucket for washing. She slept on a simple grass mat. You see, Mother Teresa believed that she was meeting and serving Christ in the poor. And you can be assured she was right. And the poor she cared for were seeing Christ in her. Throughout history, we see people who truly changed the world around them by believing in something intangible, something unseen, whether it be God or a moral conviction or both. The Apostle Paul was no exception. And God bless him, I love Paul. I don't know if I'm right, but I have a speculation about Paul's physical appearance. I always envision him as being this little bundle of energy that was always on the move, writing, preaching, traveling. And he was controversial in the first century, but it seems that he didn't care because he was doing what he was called to do by a risen Christ. Some of the things that he wrote still confound me to this day, and I'd love an opportunity to discuss and better understand some of his more troubling statements. But then, some of the things he wrote are so beautiful and heartfelt that they sing with majesty as he describes the grace and humility of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we know that if it weren't for the letters of Paul, our New Testament would be very, very short. It's true that his faith may have come more easily than for some of us, since Paul actually encountered the voice of Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was called by Jesus personally, but he was immediately transformed from a persecutor of Christians to an apostle of our Lord. And during his life, he was beaten, he was flogged and stoned and imprisoned and shipwrecked and eventually killed because of his faith. He told everyone he could about his faith, and he never backed down. Our scripture passage this morning begins in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, where Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he says, "It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken." Now, Paul is quoting here from Psalm 116, and what he's saying is that faith leads to testimony. In other words, if we believe, if we have faith, then we tell others about it. And then he continues, "Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself." You see, by our faith, we will join in the resurrection of Christ. Now, Paul was writing this letter to the church in Corinth in about the year 55. His relationship with the church there was really a stormy one, although he clearly loved that church deeply. But at one point, the church in Corinth was infiltrated by a group of false teachers who were questioning not only Paul's Christian message, but they were questioning Paul's integrity and his authority as an apostle. And so he chose to make a quick trip to Corinth to settle the problem. Well, unfortunately, his time there turned out to be personally painful for Paul. Most likely, the personal attacks against him continued. And so he left and went back to Ephesus without correcting the problem. Because the true gospel of Christ was in jeopardy, Paul could not just let it go. So he decided to send what he described as a severe letter, which he says he wrote out of great distress and anguish of heart with many tears. You sense his anguish for the church. And then Titus carried that letter to Corinth, and Paul waited for news of how the letter was received. Well, he experienced even further anguish after Titus had left, thinking that perhaps his letter would not be well received by the church, and he started having regrets that he had sent such a severe letter. But it was too late. The letter was on its way. And so Paul set off for Troas, thinking that he would meet Titus there, and ultimately he met up with Titus in Macedonia, and he was eager to hear the news from Corinth. Well, Titus had good news for Paul. The severe letter had accomplished its purpose, and the church in Corinth was back on track. The letter that we now know as 2 Corinthians was Paul's immediate response back to the church, expressing his comfort and joy that they had responded favorably to his previous letter. The part of 2 Corinthians that we are focused on this morning is considered a digression, which Paul was prone to do. But some scholars have said that perhaps it turns out to be the most important part of the letter, because Paul is clearly pouring out his heart about the joys, the sufferings, and the rewards of the high calling of Christian ministry. He shared his personal testimony, and he shared his faith. It is here that he shares with the Corinthians the toll that this ministry is having on him personally. It's having an effect on his body and his health. But he says this: "We do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Paul says that his suffering was nothing compared to what Jesus suffered. What was going on in the world around them didn't really matter in the long term. There was eternal reward waiting for them. You know, I am reminded when I read this passage about faith in the unseen, I'm reminded of my wonderful experience when I spent time as a chaplain in the Hospice of St. John in Denver. It was an exceptional place in so many ways, and I came away with story after story of relationships and inspiration from those who were dying. In the words of Paul, outwardly they were wasting away, yet inwardly they were being renewed day by day. Yes, as a chaplain in the hospice, I was being inspired by the people who were dying. I was being inspired by their faith. And I remember so vividly walking into the hospice one Saturday morning. I heard the most beautiful piano music coming from the lobby. With feeling and passion, someone was playing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And it was just beautiful. You could even say it was majestic. And as I stepped into the lobby, I saw, seated at the piano, a woman dressed in hospital garb, obviously a patient whom I had not yet met. The lobby was beginning to fill with other patients and with nurses and staff. They were all being drawn to that beautiful music of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I inquired of a nearby nurse, and I was told that this was Mary, who had been admitted to the hospice in the last few days, and she likely only had a few months to live. And then turning back to the music, the nurse said, "Isn't it incredible? Mary is blind." Well, I immediately wanted to know Mary. She was inspiring me already. I learned that she was blind since birth, and I suddenly realized that Mary was playing with passion and feeling about a rainbow that she had never seen. I got to know Mary quickly. She was a gracious and welcoming woman who made friends with her cheerfulness and her smile. I also quickly learned that Mary was a woman of immense faith. Her life had been difficult in many ways, but she believed in a loving, compassionate, and risen Christ whom she also had not seen. But that's not all. You see, Mary had been in an abusive marriage, a marriage that was supposed to provide her with security, but she was too strong to be confined to abuse, and so she courageously left, relying on her faith, because she did not know what the future would hold. She didn't know how she would survive. Well, it was in a blind support group that Mary met Mike, who also was blind. And the two of them fell in love and created a beautiful marriage centered in a faith in Jesus Christ. It was a relationship of trust and encouragement and care for one another. Mike was at her bedside every day, caring for Mary as only Mike could do. I became fast friends with both of them. We laughed together, we prayed together, and yes, we shed tears together as we discussed what life would be for Mike once Mary was gone. And yes, it occurred to me that these two inspiring people had fallen in love and developed a beautiful marriage, even though they had never seen each other with their eyes. Just like Mary could know the beauty of a rainbow, she also knew love in its purest sense. She loved Mike, but first and foremost, she loved her Lord. I still think of Mary often. She gave me a whole new perspective on faith. You see, when I felt God's call to ministry, the hardest question I ever had to answer in my life was, do I have the faith? I discovered God was not going to answer that question for me, but God was going to wait for my answer. I also discovered that all of the years prior, when my life was secure and my career was successful, I easily said that I had faith. But it becomes much more difficult when following God means giving up security and putting your comfort at risk. Well, everyone who is hearing this message today has undoubtedly faced questions of faith because of personal health, death of loved ones, a family crisis, jobs, finances, or just the world around us and the observation of hatred and greed that surrounds us. I said that Mary gave me a whole new perspective on faith. Yes, her faith in a living and compassionate Messiah was so innocent. She had never seen a rainbow, yet she knew they existed. She had never seen Mike, and yet she felt love. She never saw me, and yet she welcomed me with friendship. Mary had faith in the unseen, because the unseen is all she had ever known. There was no reason to question, and she was strong and courageous as she faced death. So let us remember in our scripture passage this morning, where Paul says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." To the glory of God. Amen. And now, friends, Alan Vest has prepared for us this rendition of "It Is Well With My Soul," a song written by Horatio Spafford, this morning arranged and performed by Alan Vest. Here is "It Is Well With My Soul."
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with.
What a great song. Thank you to Alan for that special rendition of It Is Well With My Soul. Friends, as we look ahead to the week that's coming, let us remember to keep our eyes fixed on the unseen, because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. A great thought as we enter a new week. Have a great week ahead, and thank you for listening.